둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You've interviewed a lot of amazing people.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. For checking out the series, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. It always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including Paul McCartney, comedian Ali Sadiq, the band Wallows, Cleopatra Coleman, she's starring in Clipped on FX, Todd Rundgren was here, G-Eazy, Andrew McCarthy, who just dropped his documentary Bratz on Hulu, Alexis Wren, starring in Latency in theaters now, Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Jeff Daniels, Russell Crowe, just an example of what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, legendary actress, one of my favorites, Annabeth Gish. You know her from Mystic Pizza, The X-Files, Sons of Anarchy, The Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, Fall of the House of Usher, Hiding Out. That's where my first time I ever saw her, with John Cryer in that movie. It was still one of my all-time favorites. We're going to be talking about this new movie called Ride that she co-stars with C. Thomas Howell and Jake Allen, who writes, directs, and also stars in. It tells the story of a family of bull riders fighting to survive in a small Texas town while dealing with the addictions, health, and religion that's embedded in the Deep South. We're going to talk about the heaviness of the movie, working in an 18-day shoot, how she more and more finds herself playing voices of authority And we'll go on to talk about her longevity in Hollywood, why she loves to work in the Mike Flanagan universe, and returning to Pretty Little Liars for its latest run. All that and more, let's dig into the movie Ride. It's Kyle Meredith with Annabeth Gish.
Woot woot! Hi, Kyle. I'm so happy to be here.
I was thinking back because my introduction was Hiding Out, the movie, and which would have been 80, what was that, 87?
Let's say the mid-aughts.
Yep, that's it. Mid-aughts. I watched that movie so many times, and when I think back on it now, it's not like it was a kid's movie at all. There was a high school aspect, and I thought I bought into that, but I look back on it now and go, that was weird. That was weird that I watched that as many times as I did.
Well, you know, first of all, you couldn't make that movie today at all. Like an adult coming back to a high school and meeting up with a high schooler. But it speaks to, first of all, you know, John Cryer is just so immensely watchable and charming. And the movie was fun. You know, it was just had a real fun aura about the whole thing. So it's not shameful to admit that you watched it a lot.
Still sing anytime Roy Orbison comes on and I say, and I'm crying, you know, that's the song. That's the moment.
I was just going to say that I was just at the Hammer Gala in Los Angeles and oh my God, I'm having a total menopausal moment. What's her name? The singer, Katie Lang.
Katie Lang. Oh, I got there right as you do it. Yeah, right.
Sorry. She was performing Hallelujah, but she's been like, that was one of the first music videos that I was ever a part of when they did the duet with Katie Lang and Roy Orbison. Oh my God. I can't believe I did that on camera. Oh shit. Especially because I adore her. Like she's a goddess to me. So.
So good. And so that version is, I mean, the original is iconic. To be able to have a secondary iconic moment in music from the same song, like it's unheard of. You know, yeah. What they pulled off together. And that's.
There was also a song called Catch Me, I'm Falling. Catch Me, I'm Falling.
Absolutely.
But I still, every time I hear that, it takes me immediately back.
Yeah, 80s, lost 80s gym.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
Well, you are doing so much these days. I've been keeping up with you also in the Flanagan universe. I know Pretty Little Liars. Today we're talking about this movie, Ride. Jake Allen, the director, co-writer, and actor. And of course, you've got C. Thomas Howe, Tommy. I mean, we're talking about the 80s. You guys, so that's what I understand. Like, this is the first time you've worked together, but from the same era. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he definitely had, he was in some of those iconic 80s movies, right? The Outsiders, for sure. And I also had the good fortune of Hiding Out, Shag, Mystic Pizza, definitely around in those years of just fun cinema. But yeah, we had to come together for this gritty indie film. We shot it in 18 days. We met each other maybe like a week prior to stepping into these roles of a husband and wife who are very unhappy in their marriage. They have a child who's sick with cancer and another son who's in jail with addiction issues. They're out of money. So it's a lot of issues, but you know, there's something about those of us who started actors, who started young and have endured, and you know, there's a bit of, there's a lot of resilience, but there's a lot of beat down, broken too, you know, to endure this world is no small thing, you know? And so I think Tommy and I each brought a sense of that. And I love that as we're growing up, we're, you know, don't underestimate people who have staying power, because there's just so much, we contain multitudes, you know? And I think we both really cared about this film and the subject matter. So it got real.
I mean, that's it, because it's an American story. It's probably more than that, but it's definitely an American story. You know, I'm in Kentucky, which is not, where this was set. Is it Texas? What am I just blanking?
It takes place in Texas. We shot it in Nashville, and we actually shot a little bit in Kentucky. The rodeo was just over the border.
Yeah. Well, just that hope, but the Texas part of that, like, you know, I'm not so far, like, there's a lot of that's this story here. You get these rural parts, you know, where it's very steeped in religion and Christianity, but at the same time, the drugs are a mess, and the people that are just fighting to get by. I mean, and that was noticeable in this movie right from the start. It's like, this is a very American tale. And never once, though, it seems like, sure, it's a cautionary tale, but that's not what the movie, I feel like. I mean, this is just like a window, is how I saw it. You know, why did it speak to you so much?
I'm so glad you say that, because I do think that, yes, it has a laundry list of issues that it addresses, but it doesn't proselytize, it doesn't preach. This is just the way it is for so many of us in America. You know, it's our story. And while it does address these issues, it also talks about the history of the Americana cowboy world and the tradition of that, you know, I mean, there's a reason that shows like Yellowstone are popular, because there's this romantic nostalgia for those traditional values and those good old boy ways that are also complex and need to be critically thought about. But I was drawn to this story because it wasn't pretty. It was real, and it was fraught with just, like, I don't know, it just felt real, raw, gritty. You know, it's not, there's no polish to this. There's no shine.
And we'll be right back, right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Annabeth Gish. With Jake being so many of the things, again, director, writer, star, co-writer. And I know you've, in your career, you've probably worked with all levels of expertise. You know, two-part question here. Is it a bit of a trust fall when you know you're going with someone who's, you know, taking on this kind of load? But also, to piggyback what you're saying there, the movie has such a mood. Methodical at parts, you know, it's a quiet movie a lot of the time. The tension is there. Like, how much of that was talked about versus how much was found once you were in front of the camera?
Again, such a good question. And yes, trustfall is exactly the word. You know, I was very nervous to sign on to something that was under the charge of, you know, Jake has directed before. So it's not like he hadn't done it before, but this is a lot to wear all of those hats. And I mean, it's just navigating the nuance of each one, especially with some older types of, you know, crotchety actors who have been around and have been directed before. But man, he, yes, trustfall, we had to leap, but he showed up. I my first Zoom with him, I got the sense that he had this beautiful balance of confidence, but humility. And he really felt like he was, you know, not going to be cocky about this was his movie. He really wanted to find it together. And it, you know, it was most interesting to me to do. We only had one scene together, he and I, Jake and I, in the prison cell. And that's that, you know, it's always hard. It's like, okay, is he going to be able to direct me while he's thinking about the narcissistic actor's approach? But he did it, you know, it was great. And I think there was just, again, to your point, it was all on the page, and it was a vibe and a mood and a world that, yeah, you have to hope they get right, but I think he did.
That mood that we're talking about too, like it's not a smiley movie. Like even in 18 days, which is a very, very quick shoot, like how much does that affect the job?
It was a heavy movie. It was a heavy movie to like live in, or pretend to live in the reality of like a young daughter potentially dying of cancer and all of those situations and circumstances. But we were also there's an undeniable energy to guerrilla filmmaking that's everybody is pouring their passion into it. You got to run and gun, so you don't have a lot of time for ego and diva, and you just and so there's an energy to it that makes it get worth it, And Nashville's a vibe too, which is so great, It was I had a blast. I really did. It was kind of the perfect recipe for a happy creative experience,
And seeing you playing the sheriff again, I mean, that's not the first time. I was looking at actually Rose because okay, so sheriff in Sons of Anarchy, you got the doctor in Midnight Mass. Of course, there's the therapist in Pretty Little Liars. Like these are all voices of authority to a certain degree. Coincidence, or is that something you find yourself leaning toward?
It's something I've grown into, certainly. When I was younger, a lot of the roles that I was playing were very earnest, salt of the earth, homegrown, which I was. I grew up in Cedar Falls, Iowa. But yes, I think I've leaned toward more of those roles. I've also, I have two teenage sons, so I have to have some authority around my house. And again, just lasting endurance breeds a certain kind of confidence, even if, you have to fake it. Definitely, like wearing the belt, the gun belt and the uniform and everything. It's hard to take a bathroom break if you have to go to the bathroom. Just, it's a lot to unload.
I talked to certain actors, especially ones that have had, the luxury of longevity. Just Russell Crowe was on here. He was talking about how he took the Pope's Exorcist role, which came out recently, because he had never done the horror movie. And for you, and again, looking at so many things, like for you, do you have a checklist like that? Because I don't know if you've ever done something like this. This is not a Western per se, it's the bull riding, but the cowboy culture is there. Like, do you have that still where you're like, yes, I want to do this because of that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I did do a long time ago, I did a movie with Angelina Jolie and Dana Delaney, a television movie in the early 90s called True Women that we shot in Texas. So it was pre cool cowboy culture, but amazing. I do love that world. There's something that I love deeply about the ethos of a Western. And yes, I wanted to film something like this with a cowboy hat for sure.
Now, you're not in any of the bull riding scenes, but there is a picture of you at the rodeo with Jay. Did you get on anything?
Hell no.
So just the cowboy hat, but not the bull.
No, yes, correct. First of all, bull riding is a completely different thing. It's those stories when about actors who say, "Oh, sure, I can ride a horse," or "Sure, I can da 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 da." You can't fake that. And so no, I know better. That's with my authority, I can confidently say I don't bull ride. It's not in my repertoire.
It's probably decisions like that have allowed you to last for so long. But
True.
that's it. Like when you have decades in the industry, what's important? What's important to know? It's so many people, for so many different reasons, right? It shakes off at some point. To be a survivor, which you sort of alluded to at the beginning of the interview here, like there's got to be some. I don't want to say strategy because so much of what we're doing is in the dark like this,
Yes.
but maybe there's that small list of things like this is what I've learned, to be able to stick around.
I think about it a lot, because I started when I professionally when I was 13. I'm 53 now. That's a long time, and I don't take any of it for granted. But it has been hard as hell. It is not, you know, I mean, I've also worked hard as hell on having a really balanced life. You know, I have two kids, I'm married for 20 years. Most of my world is intact, you know, and substantial. But it's not like I'm saying no to these, you know, huge tentpole movies that I'm like, no, I think I'll pass. It's not where I'm at. You know, I mean, there's a lot of heartbreak that comes into having a 35-year career. And I think now at this point, I just kind of look at my career as a patchwork quilt that's just, you know, some you look at some of those things and you say, oh, well, maybe there's that square, that quilt piece that's, you know, I wish that went away. Or, but you know, you do have to take jobs to pay the bills. You have to take jobs, you know, but there's also something too that I've always had with my creative process that, you know, as long as you keep filling the bank with your own creative life and the love for the art is still there, which it is, then it regenerates, you know? Like, I love being on sets. I love working on movies, and I just love the collaborative industry. So I still have a lot of energy and optimism about it.
I mean, what are the odds? And I get this question thrown at me on, you know, for the music side of my life from people. Like, what are the odds that the thing you liked at 13 is still the thing that you like now? You know, there's so much like we grow and we change. And I say this like, how lucky am I? Like, how lucky are you that that stuck and you have a passion for it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. You know, again, I referencing my teenage sons, it's a different time. It's like what, you know, the path of how do you find your bliss? How do you build a life and make a living of something that you that makes you brings you joy, you know? It's a very I don't take it for granted at all.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Annabeth Gish. And even seeing like a movie like this, I would guess this is working out of Hollywood, you know, in the big like because we're in this, it looks like we're coming into another great moment for indie movies. You know, people will reference the 90s, you know, and that era. And for that seemed to be for very natural reasons, while this might be for very forced reasons, pandemic and striking and all that stuff. But yet here we are, like to do a movie like this, a smaller movie, but still like, you know, so much heart.
So yes, and I you know the definition, how we define what is independent filmmaking these days is very broad, right? Because some independent films are $10 million nowadays, you know, which makes no sense. But you know, my very first film that I ever did was a film called Desert Bloom, and it premiered at Sundance in 1982. So it was like at the inception point of this whole thing. And again, when that way of filmmaking gets in your blood, that's addictive because it's, you know, it's again, it's a little bit of a hellscape because you have to, you know, compromise and you have to go fast and but it's also just that beautiful, like you're doing it for the love of it.
When
So
everybody's screaming, we're gonna lose the sunlights.
yes.
You have to get this now.
Yes.
And
Yes.
then
Yes.
everybody cheers when it's done. That's I would have quickly, of course, I mentioned Flanagan earlier, Mike Flanagan, and being those, what he's doing, what you all are doing, what that ensemble family universe, whatever you want to call it, is doing. What,
Planiverse is what people call
yeah,
it.
right. Like, aside from maybe the job. Like, what brings you back to working there?
It's such a beautiful, rare thing to have, you know, it's like a repertoire company, a theater company, you know, that calls you back and invites you back, and it's a tribe, and but again, it always comes back to, I mean, I've done five projects with Mike now, and I just really believe in the way he tells stories. You know, I believe in the way he tells stories. I believe in his heart again. You know, when I it's there's nothing more attractive to me about working with someone is if you see them pouring their their heart into something. And man, he does it. He's so prolific too. He fascinates me how prolific he is.
I haven't looked around, and I might be asking one of those questions you can't ask yet, but are you doing The Exorcist with him?
I haven't heard anything about
Oh,
that.
yeah. Like, I don't
I
know if that's one of those universe movies anyway. I just heard that the
don't
other day.
either. That might be its own entity. And I did find, for me, again, back to Ride, this was what was so refreshing for me at the time, because I had done a string of horror things. You get into the horror of reality, right? Addiction and cancer, and those are horrific things. But there's something just about being grounded in the truth. That's not a fantasy, that's not sci-fi, that's not a genre, that's just real.
I think you're due for a comedy at some point. That's
Oh, yeah, and I'm funny. What people don't let me be funny. I mean, I make myself laugh, so I don't
Let her be funny. Let her be funny. Because
Thanks.
yes, because yeah, Pretty Little Liars, that's also going on. And here you, I mean, you it's that's that's the therapist.
That's just a posture. That's very,
Sure.
very, tell me how you feel, very neutral,
Right.
but a
But
blast
you
nonetheless.
do get that interesting chance, and I know you've talked about this some before. You got to return to something that was completely different, but under the same umbrella and the name and everything, as the same person.
Yeah.
Like, what's interesting about that as an actor?
Oh my God, it's so interesting. It's so because it, first of all, it's just a spin on an old story, but to bridge between the old and the new, and to be able to be entrusted with bridging both of those. And then I know the original Pretty Little Liars, and I know the new Pretty Little Liars, and they are both these crazy examples of social media stars, and great actors, and but it's a new modern type of craft. It's a definitely different world than, say, Succession or Nixon or and I'm an ever learner. I want to stay relevant to myself. So I didn't think for a second, didn't hesitate to join Pretty Little Liars.
Now, do you use your role, as you say, as a way to bridge the two? Like we know what we can expect from you, or do you think through like, what's this? How's this person lived in these years between? And this is how they've like, is that part of it at all?
I mean, listen, let's be honest. I didn't know until I got the last script of Pretty Little Liars what my character's story was and where she'd been in this time. You kind of, with some of those, series television, you have to just commit and
Sure,
trust, fly by the seat of your pants. Yeah.
yeah. Well, it's fun seeing you in that. It's like I said, I so every time you're on the screen, I go, oh, it's you're one of those. I really do mean it when I say I'm such a fan, and you've been entertaining me for a very long time, and by that I mean since the early mid aughts.
I love it. I love it. That means so much. AKA, I'm old.
No, we're all older. That's true. We are
It's
all.
funny because I had someone tell me that they were like, "Oh yeah, I know Annabeth Gish. She was in a movie that was my favorite movie, and I named my daughter after her." And just, but it's just like not after Mimi, but just because I'm one of those, like, I'm kind of tertiarily, familiarly famous. I'm that girl that you think you went to school with, you know?
I named my son after a role, so I kind of get that. It was a
Yeah.
Brad Pitt role, but it's
Well, that's understandable.
yeah.
I'm not unhappy that my son has, one of my sons has a Brad Pitt poster, in his room, and the other one has Pulp Fiction. So,
Yeah. Good
yeah.
era. Good era. Seriously, I do want to congratulate you again. Ride is a very powerful movie. I love seeing you in everything you do. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. What a great conversation.
My thanks to Annabeth. Ride is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you leave so you can catch up with all the interviews that we do, just like this one. 3 interviews a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give a rating, leave a review as well. Again, that always helps out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Bob Marley, Badfinger, First Edition, Better Than Ezra, Radiohead, Nirvana, The Cult, David Byrne, Tom Petty, Johnny Cash, Sarah McLachlan, Cardigans, Tori Amos, Sonic Youth, Blur, Royal Otis, Dido, Madonna, Tierra Whack, and my interview with Joe Talbot of the band Idols. Again, just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
You're so wonderful and genuine, and your questions are great. So
it's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.